Jesus said, "Tell that fox he has no power over me." Jesus said, "Tell that fox that even though I know he can destroy me as a fox destroys a hen, his threats and power are less than the power of God." Jesus said, "I want you, little chicks, to know this truth, that God's power is greater than Herod's. I tried to tell you this, but you are not willing to listen. You will know it in time and will be moved to say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" All of Jesus' life, people thought that he would be subject to Herod's power. They could only imagine knowing Jesus' power in relationship to Herod's. They wanted him to demonstrate his power by overcoming Herod's power. That's literally all that they could imagine. And Jesus said to them, "You're missing it. My ways are not the ways of this world." And the disciples, in essence, said, "What other ways are there?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me." The disciples said, "We don't know where you're going." Jesus said, "If you're with me, then you're always in the right spot, with God, the eternal Father. And this will transform your lived reality here and now." Herod is like others in this world whose end is destruction. Herod's god is his belly. His glory is in his shame, glorifying in the way he can abuse and use people. Herod's mind is set on earthly things, taking stock of his power over others and all creation. I was listening to a recorded sermon of Howard Thurman, which is old. Howard Thurman's ministry was in the 40s and 50s. This recording, someone took the time to transfer all of people's cassette recordings of his sermons onto a CD. You can get it on Audible, or you can get it in a CD disc set, which I thought, I don't even have one of those machines anymore. So I would speculate that this sermon is probably from the 50s, maybe from the 60s. So it's old. And in his sermon, he says, yes, evil does rise up on this earth and lead to destruction. We know this. It's undeniably true because we see it with our own eyes. But, he goes on to say, if what has risen up is against life, ultimately life will not sustain it. And this is the beautiful thing that Howard Thurman is bringing to our attention. God is life and has established life as a guiding principle, a way and truth of this world. And Jesus incarnates that life fully. Here again, Howard Thurman's words, if what has risen up is against life, ultimately, life will not sustain it. To illustrate this in his sermon, he references a book entitled The Green Earth. Now, I did a little Google search for The Green Earth, and guess what? There are a lot of books that have The Green Earth in their title. And recognizing that this book was studied together in the congregation that he led, which was one of the first interracial congregations in San Francisco in the 40s, nobody was doing this. And he was the black pastor, and there was a white pastor, and it was also interreligious. So anyway, in his sermon, he is referencing this book that some people joined him in reading, entitled The Green Earth. And he talks about an illustration that took a lot of their conversation in their book study, about the acorn. You see, the acorn has within it a root structure and a trunk structure. And when the acorn is in the earth and begins to become full of life and break open, the roots go down and the trunk goes up. And so someone thought, what would happen if I plant the acorn in the earth upside down? And lo and behold, as life starts to break into that acorn, the acorn turns itself in the right direction. Howard Thurman is using this to illustrate that God's ways are the ways. All other ways are less than that. And how easily do we forget that God's way is life, and that life is the way. That God will see it through even when we can't see it through. He points out in this story, the miracle takes place in the heart of the seed, and we cannot comprehend it. In that seed, in the heart of the seed, is the miracle of God, and that is true of each of us too. Paul is making this same point. For those of you that don't know the story of Paul, he was Saul before. And he had gotten the authority from the Jewish leaders in the temple to go and find all these people who were followers of the way. That's what people were called who followed Jesus' teaching after his resurrection. And he had been given permission to go and to take them out of their houses and to return them bound to the temple so that they could be accused for the crime that they had committed, the religious crime that they had committed. He was almost like the ICE of that time. And it says this in the book of Acts. And God somehow got to Saul's heart and changed him, transformed him in a way that no one could even believe. We actually read this on Wednesday night when we were together for What Can I Do? We started with this story. Because when God changed Saul's heart, people didn't believe it. And when God said to Ananias, I need you to go and to see this guy named Saul, and this is where he is, Ananias says to God, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That's the guy that's capturing people and turning them into the temple police so that they can be tried and accused. What are you doing here? Saul is overseeing the death of people who are followers of the way. And God says to Ananias, go, I've changed his heart. This is what God does in us, and we cannot see it, just as we can't see what's in the acorn. And so here is Paul talking to the church in Philippi. He's talking to them about how it is that people live as enemies of Jesus. And that question is for us too. Will you live as an enemy of Jesus, telling God all of the ways that he's doing it wrong? Ignoring his invitation to come and sit at Jesus' feet? Will you see the cross of Christ more as a shameful death than the power of God to overcome even the worst evils? Or, Paul is asking, will you become a disciple of Jesus and imitate Christ? Will you practice hearing his voice so that you can recognize his call more quickly? Will you ask God to give you eyes to see the life force embedded in each moment? In this present time, I'm seeing people, I don't know what to call it, forget or fail. I'm not sure what the word is. I'm seeing them either forget or fail to remember the seed of Christ within them before listening to the news. Now, what do I mean by this? Folks are reading the news like they're reading a recipe, like they're just reading it. They approach it with the same level of consciousness, or maybe I should say lack of consciousness. They read about Herod's power and threats without first remembering God's power within them, which is within all living things. The heart of the seed within us, where the miracle of love's transforming power resides and with which God can do amazing things. When we remember that the God of all eternity, whose power exists beyond our finite minds, we cannot comprehend it. When we remember that the God of all eternity has established a kingdom whose beginning, middle, and end are love, everything is different. And when we remember that we are citizens of this kingdom, which extends even into the heavens as far as our minds can comprehend, then we remember our very earthly existence. And it becomes transformed. We see ourselves differently, just this big, but held within the infinite mercy and transforming love of God. This is what Paul is urging the church to consider to whom he's speaking in Philippi. And I am urging the church in Ridgefield to remember this, to stand firm in the Lord so that you will not be moved by the power and threats of Herod, to stand firm in the Lord so that you will remember that God brings about death from life, or life from death. We need not be afraid of the powers of this world. Instead, we exchange our fear of the powers of this world for the peace that passes understanding. This is what Jesus says to us: come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and faithful in heart. This peace grounds us in God's life force so that we might be agents of God's love in this world. So let us come, as our opening collect says, with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of the word, Jesus Christ the Son. And let the church say, Amen.